my privilege to be here. Had a great weekend
in Wisconsin. And a great time in the morning service. Really, there are few churches I could be more at home at than here at Calvary in Wisconsin Rapids. Appreciate your pastor so much. He provides great leadership here as well as with other churches in our fellowship. Love your commitment to the gospel. Love your outreach into the community. Love your biblical counseling ministry. I've been ACBC since 2000, and we have a biblical counseling ministry at our church. We're working to certify people to be competent biblical counselors, and so love that about your church. The music that was done today was so appropriately chosen, and so I just really feel much at home. As a matter of fact, as I was reflecting this last week, I realized that this is not my first time here at your church. It's not even my first time preaching here at your church. 31 years ago, I hate to get historical on you like this. 31 years ago, I was like a sophomore at Faith Baptist Bible College, and I was on a traveling music team, and we were at Camp Fairwood for the week, and then we came to your church on the weekend. And on that Sunday morning, your pastor at that time took a great career risk, and he let me preach. And so I was probably like the second or third time I ever preached in public. Was right here at your church 31 years ago. So after 31 years, it is really great to be back with you this morning. I was starting to think it was something I said, but apparently not, because here I am again, and really, really thankful for that. This is a kind of an unusual experience for me. I'm like your pastor. I'm preaching to the same congregation week after week, and we usually take a passage of Scripture. Like right now, I'm preaching through the book of Romans. And we go passage by passage through a book, usually a big book like Romans. I'll do 10 to 12 messages through a chapter or two, and then I'll do something else for a few weeks, and then we'll come back to it. So this summer, we've actually been in Romans 8. To me, that's the greatest chapter in all the Bible, Romans chapter 8. So as I was thinking about what do I preach? You know, you just come and you get one shot at a congregation, so what should I preach? And so I was thinking, well, I'd like to do something from Romans chapter 8, since I love this this book so much, and this in particular, this chapter. So I was trying to think about what's the best standalone message in Romans 8. They're all connected. I almost kind of hate to say that, because every text is in a context, and we need to see it in its context. But I was just trying to think, what would be the one message maybe out of Romans 8 that could really be helpful for you today as a congregation? So I chose Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27, and I called this series The Unconquerable Love of Christ, but verse 26 and 27 of Romans 8 is specifically about the role of the Holy Spirit in helping us pray. I see these two verses as gospel for prayers. If you're a child of God, you are a prayer. That's one of the many blessings that God has given to us as His children. It's the opportunity to pray. And what amazes me is that God not only invites us to pray. Just think about how amazing that is. The God of the universe, who has always been, who always will be, who has all power and is all wise and is sovereign over all things, says, come. Come. Freely come into my presence. Pray. He invites us to pray. And not only does He invite us to pray, He enables us to pray. And then He gives us everything we need to pray. That's amazing. And this text that we're looking at this morning is one that really helps us to be prayers. Now, I don't know about you, but prayer is difficult for me. Some of you have been Christians for a long time, and you might say the same thing. Prayer is a difficult thing. You ever find a difficult time praying? Maybe you have found it hard to pray because you're in a situation which you don't even know what you should pray for. Or maybe you wonder if, as you've been praying for something, you wonder, have I been praying for the right thing? Have you ever been so overwhelmed? I've had people in my church tell me before, Pastor, I'm just so overwhelmed, it's like I can't pray. Have you ever felt inadequate to pray? Sometimes people say, well, who am I anyway to be asking God for anything? I mean, I'm like the last person in the world that ought to be asking God for anything. Do you ever have trouble praying? Well, here's good news for you. Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27. Let me give you the message first, and then we'll read the text, and then we'll unpack it together. Here is the good news of this text. By the way, out of all the texts in Romans 8, this is the one that surprised me the most. This is the one when I really came to understand what it is that God is telling us about the role of the Spirit in praying in these verses was just truly amazing to me. Because here's the message, listen. In spite of your weaknesses, and listen, you have weaknesses. We have weaknesses. But in spite of your weaknesses, uncertainties. Yeah, we have a lot of uncertainties too. In spite of your weaknesses and your uncertainties and misguided desires. I mean, sometimes we don't even want the things we should want when we're praying. In spite of that, listen, there is no situation in your life that is not being rightly prayed for. That's amazing. In spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your uncertainties, even misguided desires, there is no situation in your life that is not being rightly prayed for. You say, that sounds too good to believe. Well, believe it. I'm asking God to give you the faith to believe it, because that's what I believe that he is teaching us here in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. So let's read this text and follow along. Actually, look at that first word, likewise. Likewise, the Spirit. Now, this does connect it to what he's just said. So if we're going to look at the context and go back to the last main thought of Romans 8, we would go back to chapter 8, verse 17. And in verse 17, Paul tells us two things. Number one, he tells us that all of God's children one day will share in his glory with Jesus Christ. Anyone here today excited about that? I thought so. That's what he tells us. We will share in the glory of Christ with Christ. But he tells us something else in verse 17. He tells us that the pathway to that glory, so from here till there, the pathway to that glory is a pathway of suffering. It's absolutely a pathway for suffering. It's God's ordained way. There was a cross before there was an empty tomb. And Christ calls us to follow him down Calvary's road, and that will be a road of suffering in some way. So Paul says we will share in the glory with Christ, the glory of God with Christ, but the road from here to there is a road of suffering. Now that's a hard word. Let's face it, that's a hard word to get. And so right after giving us that hard word, Paul gives us two encouragements. The first one is the hope of glory. That's verses 18 through 25. And then when he gets to verse 26 and 27, he gives us the second encouragement, and that is the help of the Spirit in prayer. Okay, so with that, follow along. Let me read it for you there in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let's pray together as we consider this text. Father, we just bow before you as we come to your holy, precious word. We're asking, God, that you would teach us. Father, every one of us here need the truth of this text, Father. Wherever we're at in life, God, we need to hear this morning, and we need to hear it in faith. So I pray, Father, that you'll give us faith today to hear and to receive these precious words. Father, there may be someone that's here in this service that's not yet a believer in Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that the goodness that these verses teach, the goodness that you share, Lord, and give so abundantly to your children will be something that will draw them at least one step closer to understanding and to putting their faith in Jesus Christ. God, for your children, I pray that you will encourage them with this gospel for praying, And Lord God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we unpack this, let's do it with three ideas. The first idea would be this from verse 26, and that is the Spirit helps because of our weaknesses. The Spirit helps because of our weaknesses. Now, listen, prayer is difficult. It's difficult, first of all, because we're weak. We're weak in the sense that our attention spans are short. Our hearts easily grow cold. We even go to sleep. Yeah, that's you. You do that. You start praying, and you go to sleep. Or have you ever had this experience? You start to pray. Let's say you're praying for one of your missionaries. So here you are praying for one of your missionaries, and you're saying, "Dear God, bless the missionary." And here you are praying for the missionary, and then all of a sudden it's like you come to in your thinking, and you realize that in your mind, you're like at the county fair on a Ferris wheel eating cotton candy. And you're like, how did I get from there, praying for the missionary, to the county fair? How did that happen? I don't know. You're just mixed up, I guess. I don't know how that happens. No, it happens to you and me because we're weak. We have short attention spans. We're physically weak. Remember Jesus and the disciples in the garden. He calls them to come and pray with him. And, of course, they'd been up a long time. It was a stressful time for them, no doubt. But as he calls them to come and pray, they keep falling asleep. Remember what Jesus said? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Prayer is hard because we're weak. Prayer is difficult because we're limited in what we see and know. We don't see everything God sees. We only see up close and only see from our limited perspective, whereas God not only knows everything there is to know, he knows all the future perfectly forever. And so this is our problem. We don't know how to pray as we ought because we are limited in what we see and know. Prayer is difficult for us because we're ignorant. There are times we're just ignorant to know what to pray for. I'm not using ignorant to mean sinful. It's just that we are grossly limited. Prayer is difficult. We need help when it comes to prayer. You know, I got thinking about that. Weakness, help, and prayer. Now, I was thinking, is there anything else in the Bible? It just seems familiar to me. Where else would it be in the Bible where we talk about weakness, help, and prayer together? Then I remembered it was Hebrews 4. Listen to Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but one who in every aspect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. So there's weakness, yet he's without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that's prayer, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help, there's the help, in time of need. That was just amazing to me to stop and think about that. God invites me to pray. God then enables me to pray, and he gives me everything I need to pray. And God, the Holy Spirit, is invested in my praying. He gives help because of my weaknesses in praying. And here, our high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is also invested in my praying. And in my praying, he helps me in my weaknesses. That's just amazing to me. That God, but you know, when you stop and think of it, that's really the message of the gospel. Here we are as weak, helpless, completely needy people, and God comes to help us in our weakness. There's not a single one of you here this morning that God said, all right, let me tell you get your act cleaned up a little bit, and then I'll meet you. There's not a single one of us here that God said, listen, you come halfway, and then I'll come halfway. Every last one of us in our helplessness, our weakness, God came to us. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you so thankful God didn't make you unscramble your eggs before you came to Jesus? You just come. You see, really what we're talking, that's why I say this is gospel for prayers. It's just like the gospel that God reaches us with. God comes to us in our need with the help that we need in our weakness. So the Spirit helps us. But secondly, think about this. The Spirit intercedes for us because we don't know the will of God. Now look at the second part of verse 26. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You see, here he's talking about our weakness as a specific weakness. He's not just talking about our weakness in general. He's talking about a very specific weakness. And the specific weakness that he talks about is that we don't know what to pray for as we ought. I like it how he says that, because he makes it very clear that there is something we ought to pray. There is some request that needs to be made to God. That's not the issue. There's something that should be prayed. Our weakness is we don't know perfectly what that is. Our weakness is we pray not knowing the will of God. So we have a specific weakness in which he ministers to us. Stop and think about it this way. The problem here is not that we don't know how to pray. Go to Luke 11 for that. The problem is we don't know what to pray for. So in suffering, remember the context here is suffering, what do you pray for? I mean, if you're physically ill right now this week, you go to the doctor and you have a test done and you find out that you're sick, what do? Do you pray for deliverance or do you pray for endurance? I don't know. What do you pray for? Something ought to be prayed for. There is a specific request that needs to be brought to God concerning that. What is it? I don't know. What if you have a wayward son or daughter? I say it all the time. There's no pain like parent pain. What if you have a wayward son or daughter? How do you pray for them? Do you pray? Oh, times this is how you pray. You say, Lord, I pray that you will give them a heavy dose of your severity. I pray, Lord, you will do something to wake them up. Or do you pray, Lord God, I just ask that they'll be overwhelmed by your mercy. You're so merciful. Your goodness leads to repentance. What do you pray for? If you have a wayward child, how do you pray? I don't know. Something needs to be prayed. Something needs to be asked of God. So what do you pray? See, that's our weakness. We don't know. So here, understand, he's not talking about just general weakness. He's talking about a specific weakness, and that specific weakness is we don't know what to pray for as we ought because we don't know the will of God. Apostle Paul was like that. Philippians chapter 1, he says, I have two conflicting desires. I have one desire to depart and be with the Lord. Are you ever there? You're like, okay, Jesus, come get me. Yeah. But then he says, I have another desire, and that desire is to remain with you, to teach you, to help you, to instruct you, to encourage you in the Lord. He had those two conflicting desires. How did Paul pray? See, something needs to be prayed, but we need the Spirit to help us in that. So here's what he's saying. You have a specific need. The Spirit now has specific help for that need. Verse 26, the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Why does he say it that way? He could just say the Spirit intercedes for us, but he says the Spirit himself intercedes for us, and it's for emphasis. You and I talk that way. If after the service, as we were talking and about something, and I just finally said, okay, I'll do it myself. And you could say, well, you didn't have to say it that way. You could have just said you would do it. So why would I say it like that? Well, because I'm trying to guilt you into something, probably. No, but because I'm emphasizing something. I'll do it myself. Doesn't have to be said that way. Seems redundant, but I'm emphasizing something. So Paul doesn't want you to miss something in verse 26. He doesn't want you to miss that the subject here is the Spirit. The Spirit himself. The answer to this problem you have is going to be the Spirit of God. So you have a specific need. God has a specific solution for that need in the Holy Spirit himself. His specific help is that he intercedes or he prays for us. He speaks what you're trying to say. Or maybe better yet, he speaks what you need to say. Something ought to be prayed. And the Spirit then speaks. He prays what you need to say. He doesn't just speak on your behalf. He speaks in your place. Think about that. You have a specific need, a weakness. The Spirit of God is meeting that specific need. Now, the Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. You see that? A lot of times it's that phrase is what gets all the headlines in this verse. And actually, it's the most really ambiguous statement in the two verses. What actually does that mean? I simply think it means this. The Spirit intercedes with sighs which cannot be expressed or grasped in human words, that which only God understands. Kind of like this. Let's say this week you're out at the grocery store and you see one of the young mothers here in your church and she's pushing the grocery cart and she's got the little guy in there. You know, he's like a year old, something like that. And he sees you and he looks at you and he goes, goo, blah, blah. And the mom says, well, he says he likes your shirt. You're like, oh, well, tell him thanks. That's sort of what it means. It's like the Spirit is speaking to God in a way that only God understands. It's like this is beyond us. So not only does something need to be prayed in that time, but exactly what needs to be prayed, exactly the way it needs to be prayed, it's prayed, it's petitioned in a way that is known only by God. That's amazing. That's how thoroughly God is meeting this need that you have. Now, make sure you see this. According to verse 26, the Spirit gives specific help to our specific need when we need it. Doesn't it say He helps in our weakness? He doesn't merely help because we are weak, but He helps in or at the point of our weakness. Now remember, this is all seen in the context of suffering. So back to verse 18, there's the sufferings of this present time. So here you are in the sufferings of this present time, and your weakness gets exposed. What's your weakness? You don't know what to pray for as you ought. Something needs to be prayed, but you don't know that. You don't have perfect insight into the will of God. It's right then is when you should pray, because it's then in your weakness that the Spirit makes intercession for us. I want to make sure you get that. Now, the third and final statement I want to unpack just for a moment, and that is this. The Spirit intercedes knowing the will of God. So you can rest assured that you are being prayed for correctly. Look at verse 27. And He who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He who searches the hearts, who's that? That's obviously God. God searches the hearts. Specifically, whenever you have a text of Scripture and there is a reference to God, or it says God, and then it specifically mentions another member of the Godhead, then the reference to God is God the Father. So He who searches the hearts is God the Father. And Paul's just making a very simple but profound point here. You have God the Father who knows the mind of God the Son. Why? Or God the Spirit. Why? Because they're one. You have God the Spirit who knows the will of God the Father. Why? Because they're one. So the Spirit who's making intercession for you, the Spirit who is bringing your petition to God, knows the will of God perfectly, and what He is praying is exactly what needs to be prayed. I'm telling you, you thought this was going to be unbelievable good news. It's good news. And believe it. That's what the Spirit of God is doing for you as the child of God. You know, when I got through the end of Romans 8, if you were to ask me what was the one big takeaway that you got from Romans 8, it's pretty simple. It was this: God loves His children. That's what I got from it. God loves His children. God loves you. And he gives you everything you need in this life of suffering. And one of the many good gifts he gives you is the gift of the Spirit praying for you. You have this weakness. The Spirit then ministers right then in that weakness. So when you go back to the text and you read these verses together, you got to come away saying this: in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your uncertainties, even misguided desires, there is no situation in your life that's not being rightly prayed for. Why? Because God the Spirit is praying for you. God the Spirit is making intercession for you. Now, I just want to close with application. It's like one long phrase of application that I'm breaking up into four sections. The first one is this: in weakness, cry out to God. I have to tell you, when I was putting this message together for my church family, not that I think poorly of them, but as I was doing this, I thought to myself, oh boy, those people in my church, when I'm preaching this, this might stir up prayerlessness in them, because they might say something like this. They might say, well, if the Spirit of God is praying for me and praying perfectly for me, why do I pray? Why should I bother praying? And I was like, oh, maybe this is going to stir up prayerlessness in my church. Then when I went back to the text, though, I realized this. There's no prayerlessness here. Because remember, he says, in the weakness, that's when the Spirit's making intercession. That's where the Spirit's making intercession. So it's in your weakness. And what are you doing in your weakness? What's your weakness? You don't know how to praise you ought. The weakness isn't that you aren't praying. The weakness is just that you don't have the mind of God. You don't know his will perfectly. You're crying out to God, all right. You're bringing your petitions to God, all right. It's just that in your weakness, you don't know exactly what needs prayed. So there's not a bit of prayerlessness in any of this text. Back earlier in the chapter, he says, we cry out, Abba, Father, because we have a spirit of adoption. So he is saying and encouraging, and it's really building up and producing prayerfulness in God's people. Why don't you just think about the number of times that the psalmist cries to God. In your weakness, cry to God. Just a sampling, Psalm 3, verse 4, I cried unto the Lord. Ever been there? Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, to the God, to my God, I cried for help. 22:5, to you they cried and were rescued. 28:2, hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help. The Psalms are all about God's people crying out to God. So in your weakness, cry to God. It's a nice word to use for prayer. Cry out to God. Sometimes I step back and I think that when I pray, I might give people the wrong impression in prayer, because a lot of people in my church, they just hear me pray publicly. And so I do it the right way. You know what I'm saying? Dear Heavenly Father, you know, prayer, 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 in Jesus' name. And so people sit there in church and they kind of get this attitude that prayer is kind of this formal thing. It's sort of like an art or a skill that only trained professionals do. This really hit home. A couple weeks ago, I'm counseling this young couple. They're going to be married this coming spring, so we started doing pre-marriage counseling with them. And he's a new believer. I mean, I tell you what, this guy, he's loving the Lord. I mean, it's really taken hold in his heart, and it's just encouraging to see him coming and wanting to grow in the Lord. And so at the end of a session here a couple weeks ago, I didn't really think about it. I just looked at him, and I said, Reuben, why don't you close our time in prayer? He went, I scared him to death. I was like, what's up, Reuben? He goes, I can't pray like you. Thought to myself, oh boy, what have I done? What have I done to poor Reuben? I said, Reuben, can you cry? Yeah. All right, you can pray. Cry out to God. And it's so wonderful to hear a new believer pray, if you know what I'm talking about. They're like, hi, God. It's Reuben. You know, prayer, prayer, prayer. Amen. It was wonderful. Cry to God in your weakness. Then number two, especially when you don't know how to pray. Let's say you're praying for a wayward son or daughter, and you learn that they're in some kind of trouble. How do you pray? Or when you have a major decision to make, how do you pray? Listen, that is the time that you need to bring your request to the Lord. Because it's in your weakness that He would help you, that He will help you. So in weakness, cry to the Lord, especially when you don't know how to pray. Number three, trusting in the Lord's provision through His Spirit. Listen, if this is true, and it is true, just think of God's provision for you through the Spirit. He says the Spirit helps you. The Spirit prays for you. The Spirit prays with you. The Spirit connects your heart to the mind and will of God. So as you cry to the Lord, especially in your weakness, when you don't know how to pray, trust in the Lord's thorough provision through His Spirit in your praying. And number four, then expect your prayers to be answered according to God's will. Because I think about this, could the Spirit ever pray something that God wouldn't answer? God the Father will never turn a request from the Spirit down. Now listen, we need faith to receive what that answer is. That's a whole different message. We need faith to know that God does all things well. We need faith to know that sometimes God is growing us in times of waiting. So that's a whole other message. But this message is the faith to believe that as you pray, even in your weakness, the Spirit of God is taking your request to the Father. He's presenting it perfectly. So listen, in spite of your weaknesses, uncertainties, even misguided desires, there is no situation in your life that's not being rightly prayed for as you cry out to God. That's good news for prayers like you. Father, thank you so much for the time we've had together this morning. Thank you, God, for Calvary Baptist right here in Rapid City, Wisconsin. I thank you, God, for the Wisconsin Rapids here. Thank you, God, for the good things that you're doing in this church. God, please continue to work in them. I pray, Lord, that as a result of this time in your word, that, Lord, they will be committed to praying like never before. That, Lord, these verses will stir up prayer in your people. God, help us just to marvel anew that you give us everything we need. You not only call us to pray and invite us to pray, Father, you enable us and give us everything we need so that we can pray. Thank you, God, for loving us. God, please use these wonderful thoughts to draw an unbeliever to yourself. And please, God, use these words to encourage and strengthen your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.